No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we have James Charles, the unbelievably successful, massive YouTuber, and his brother Ian, who is also, you know, just like a hot guy around town.
Hi, sisters.
How did this end up happening? How the fuck are we all on the same podcast right now? I mean, I know you guys came out of the same vagina, but...
We did. Ian is a huge fan of you.
That's crazy.
Loves you the most ever in the entire world. Mm-hmm. Loves Lena.
Aw.
Wants to marry Lena one day, probably. So Ian is a huge fan, and I'm just doing anything I can to support him in his ventures of being a social media star as well. So this is like one of his huge goals.
I love it, man. Because yeah, you're 16, and you're a white boy from the middle of nowhere, so that's why you're a No Jumper fan. Yeah, that's like our like most like stereotypical like grouping that you could ever imagine. That's like when people give us a hard time, they're like, ah, she's so much a little motherfucker white boys from the middle of nowhere. That's what people say about us. They're wrong, though. Yeah. In reality, we have fans from all over the spectrum of fandom. Anyway, so you guys are from upstate New York.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes.
You're not a big fan?
No.
I've spent quite a bit of time running around all the different areas up there. Yeah. I've been to Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, that's right. That's like an hour away from us.
Oh, really? Okay, so you're like not super far north.
Not like, it was a little bit of like white suburbia, but like not like that north.
Right. Yeah, I remember going to like Rochester and shit too, and like it's like it reminded me of like a really grimy, like poor Brooklyn.
Kind of. We grew up in right around the city of Albany, which is obviously the capital of New York.
I've been to Albany a million times.
Yeah, so we grew up in a city called Bethlehem, which is kind of like the more like middle class, roughly area. It was a really, really good school system, and we grew
also
up
also where
in
Jesus
Albany.
Christ is from.
Yes.
Okay.
We grew up in Albany, but my parents really wanted a better school system for us, being the Albany's kind of like unsafe and not really the best. Mm. So we moved to Bethlehem when I was in second grade and Ian was
like two.
Young, two or three. And we grew up there for our entire lives. We went to school there and then I graduated early and Ian's still in school there. But now I live in LA.
Right.
So that we were definitely like raised in that area.
It's fucking crazy how fast you came up, dude.
Thank you.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I started doing makeup around 3 years ago now.
3 years.
It's going to be 3 years in October, so my sister anniversary is coming up.
So 3 years was when you got even just interested in it in general.
Yes. 3 years ago was the first time I ever put on makeup. It's literally like, it's like October 12th was the first time I ever did makeup, and it was because I was prepping for Halloween. Mm. But I had been watching tutorials on it forever, just never tried it. And before I did makeup, I used to do hair.
Okay.
I was always been like very, very into that and just like into the beauty world, I guess.
Right.
And my friend was like going to military ball. I did her hair and she was late for her appointment at MAC and asked me to do her makeup. So I tried it and it ended up being really, I mean, looking at it now, it was probably disgusting looking.
But you just like, it clicked. Like,
it was just fun. I'm into this. It was really fun. It's because I've always been very, very into art. I've been drawing since I was like literally 0 years old. Ever. Like always.
No one is ever really zero, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I probably like came out of my mom with like a Sharpie in my hand drawing something. Who knows? Yeah, that was a gross reference.
Mom,
sorry
mad
for
as
that.
Hell. How'd you get a Sharpie?
But like I've always just been very, very into art. So it kind of like made an easy transition and then Halloween came around and then I went from doing client makeup to then trying it out myself. And that's when things just started exploding.
But how far of a gap between you, because you were Instagram first, right? Because I went and watched one of your old, your first video, actually. Lena was like, I want to know what his first video was like. We went back and watched it. Jesus and you were like, Christ. You were like promoting, like, you know, it's me. I'm James from the Instagram account that you all like. And now I have a YouTube, which is now it's, I'm a YouTuber, basically.
Yeah, so
right?
I started on Instagram. My first Instagram pictures, if you scroll all the way back, are all like client makeup. So I did all the clients first. Then I posted my like work on other people, on girls, trying to get more work to come to me because I was a broke 16-year-old at the time. Mm-hmm. And like needed to like buy an iMac and like Froyo and Chili's dinners with my friends.
Yeah, expensive taste even then. Huh?
Yes, very expensive taste, of course. Mm-hmm. Very bouche. The $200 dinner for two with classic 6 ounce sirloin, of course. And then on Halloween, I did myself. And the first makeup I did was a skeleton makeup. And I really started exploding on Instagram is where I grew first. Mm-hmm. So I didn't actually make a YouTube channel until I had around 150 to 200,000 followers on there. Mm. And it was because I couldn't afford a camera, didn't have lights, and didn't really know how the YouTube setting worked. And in the makeup community, it's very, very divided in the sense that people really... It's a very catty industry, which I'm sure we'll get into later on. Mm. But there was not a lot of help. So I didn't really, like, I couldn't afford the stuff. I didn't really know what I was doing. And nobody was really being there being like, hey, here's all these things, all this equipment that you need to buy. Here's how you do this and do it really, really well. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of figure it out by myself. And like I said, we grew up in Bethlehem, and it's not like I had a filming studio in my house that I could just go in like I do now. So,
but even your first video was pretty like well done.
Yeah. Our father is a self-employed contractor, and he's literally like number one fan of everything that we do in life. So he's incredibly supportive. And he helped me build a makeup studio in our basement out of like a counter that was in there with a huge vanity and lights and drawers and everything. So I used that when I was doing client makeup. So
dad once of I started, the year. That yeah, sounds like a great dad right there.
Parents of the year in general. So once I started doing that, I kind of set like a table up down there and got some soft boxes from Amazon and started doing it that way. It was a busted setup compared to what I have now, but it worked in the time being. And that's kind of what I started off with and slowly built my way up. And now I'm a very huge believer in quality over quantity. Mm. So having a really insane good setup for me has always been something that I've really, really loved, like always wanted it. And now I'm finally at a place where I'm very happy with the video quality that I'm producing. But when I first began, I hated it. And I knew that it was because it was a budget level mm-hmm. production, obviously. But thank God that like the sisters were like believed in me as a creator rather than like the whole video, I guess, itself as a whole, and stuck around because now obviously it's great. But I wasn't really as passionate about it then because I knew that the content that I was putting out was not the quality that I wanted it to be, but couldn't be the quality that I wanted it to be just yet.
See, it's pretty crazy because when I think about like the makeup world on YouTube, it's really probably one of the biggest and like longest running communities in a sense. So that's what's so crazy about it is that you're so new to it and have been able to explode past so many people. And I'm sort of like weirdly aware of that world, just
love
like
that.
YouTube stuff, just sort of knowing girls are into it, whatever. But I just am like really amazed by that because I feel like the makeup world and is, you know, it's probably not very male friendly. It's mostly women, right?
Yes.
So that like, what do you think it was that just made you stand out and so quickly?
Well, the makeup community is predominantly women, but I would say a lot of the people that are at the top are the boys. So okay. A lot of us boys have a really, really active following, which is awesome. And I think it's just because it's something different.
Patriarchy and, also.
No, hopefully not.
I'm just kidding.
But the makeup community is definitely a community that has been around for so long. And I think because of that, it's incredibly repetitive and it's fucking boring. I can swear on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. It's fucking boring. And
do anything. Take your shirt off.
For me personally,
whatever.
Like I came into it like on Halloween. So I automatically got into it doing pretty crazy stuff. Mm. And those are the looks that I really, really love doing and what got me into art in the first place. It's like crazy looks, turning myself into a skeleton or like an acid drip, like entire, like no eyes, face look, which is stuff that I've done. Like I turned myself into a dead deer for one Halloween where I was like ripping half my face off and a skeleton was underneath or just like.
That was the worst look of all time.
Bitch, that was an amazing look. Don't ever. That's one of my favorite looks to date. I'd love to see you try to turn yourself into a dead deer.
So you were never motivated by, I want to help Betty, who's a secretary down the street. I want to help her feel pretty so that she can go on a date with her husband. You were like, no, I want to make art.
Kind of, yeah. Like the glam portion is a huge part of my career now, but it's because it kind of became that. Mm. In the sense, I never have wanted makeup to like feel beautiful or feel confident, and I feel equally as confident with a full face on or without a full face on. So now that it's become my job and I am like a influence on other people, which I've kind of realized the hard way over the course of my career over the past 3 years, now I look at it that way in the sense that I want to be the best person that I can and I want to inspire people and I want to like preach to people that you don't need makeup, but it's definitely a fun way to express yourself and feel more confident. But for me, yes, I came into it wanting to create really, really dope shit that people haven't seen before. Mm. And I think that that's part of the reason why I skyrocketed so fast, because I was doing something other than boring ass brown smoky eyes and like orange cut creases that we've all seen a trillion times in every other boring little white girl's makeup page.
Does it feel like the makeup community, does my like observation has sort of gone from like just strict like tutorials and stuff to all of a sudden you have somebody like Tana who's like not specifically doing that many makeup tutorials or anything, but she's just all personality.
Yeah,
that's kind of the direction it's gone in, right?
1,000,000%. I'm one of the only people that is like in the community for the art that has also made it to the top with personality. There's a lot of people that are in the community that are so incredibly fucking talented, but don't really have that like on camera personality and aren't trying to be like some superstar influencer, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of people that do have that crazy, insane personality and are so entertaining to watch and you just want to see everything that they say, but don't have that same like level of artistry. Like, obviously everybody like looks beautiful and is also entertaining, but like there's only a few of us that like are both like that full on kind of mix of both, if that makes sense. And there are a lot of people like Tana who know nothing about makeup and suck at makeup, but are ridiculously entertaining. So you want to watch her tutorials. And at the same time too, there's also a lot of everyday people out there who don't have 2 hours in the morning to put on a full face of glam like I would, and want a more simplistic video that they can laugh with and also get like the information of, if they don't really care about like the full glam process, which I don't expect most of my followers to.
Right. Well, let's take a step back. Let's talk about the relationship that you two have always had, because it feels like you guys have very different energy levels, perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps you exist on different ends of the, you know, sexual spectrum. Yeah. Let's talk about how you guys have always gotten along.
Do you want to talk about that, Ian?
Well, we really haven't. Like, when we were little, he would always be on the computer and doing shit inside, and always be outside doing sports and shit, so we didn't really get along that well when we were kids, but gotten a lot closer now that we're doing the videos together.
Yeah, like, how did you guys start doing videos together?
Because
I watched a couple of them last night.
The first one we did was
you doing my makeup on me.
No, it was you doing my makeup.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Bad. Awful, really bad. I think that we definitely did have a rough childhood growing up together, just in the sense that we are so incredibly different and we really didn't have a lot to relate on.
Right.
And because of that, we didn't really get along. Like, Ian is definitely more of like a chill bro-y type guy, but also like gets angry really easily. And I am more of like a really, really high energy, like low gay boy who like is the complete opposite and like will like fight. Like, not like physical fight, but like will argue with you until like the sun goes down, and we'll
until
like fight
you
until
physically
I win.
Fight you.
Yeah, maybe.
But okay, he's saying you're a bro. You ever like have that instinct of like, oh, like my brother's gay, like maybe I should like be homophobic and just be mean to him?
Not really.
I feel like that probably happens a lot.
I mean, yeah, people talk shit, and I talk shit back to protect him. So,
have you always had that instinct of like, nah, like we're still bros. Like, I'm gonna protect him.
When I was
way.
Like little, like when I could like tell he was gay, I kind of like didn't like accept it because I was still like young.
You didn't really like know what to think of it, or like how did that thought process go?
I was just like, what? I don't know why he's gay. Like, I made like fun of him, kind of. But yeah. Like, once I matured, I kind of like understood it.
Such a hard concept to understand when you're young, you know?
Especially for someone like Ian, who literally grew up playing football and basketball and baseball. And when somebody strikes out or is making fun of someone, they say, fuck you, fag, and like all sorts of gay slurs. And it's just like something that's kind of been ingrained into society to say. And it's been like a running joke, which obviously isn't funny, but it's kind of like the environment that we grew up in and that we're raised in. And that's like how the kids in white suburbia act. And that's how a lot of kids everywhere act in general. Yeah. So yeah. I definitely took a lot of like growing and just maturing, but Ian has definitely been receptive and open to like learning, and now is always protecting me, which really means a lot because he doesn't have to. And it's like awesome that we've been able to kind of get closer and grow this relationship. Cause like we said, we didn't really grow up on the best terms. So now doing these videos together and kind of Ian growing on social media has given us something huge to relate to, because it's my entire life.
He's out here with a million followers just for being a snack. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That doesn't normally happen.
No, it doesn't.
Pause on me saying that, by the way. But I mean, I was just like, holy shit, you got a million followers. Like, how? Like, what do you think people like about you at this point in your career that they feel like they want to be a part of you?
The fact that I'm like James's attractive younger brother, basically.
Attractive? We're just going to go. You're real confident, huh? Hey, good looking guy. Well, I probably should say you're 16, but
yeah, based on the comments. I just think he said something different than me. And like my followers are, I feel like I've done a pretty good job of building a very, very engaged fan base that kind of like knows where I came from and knows that like I've worked really hard to get to where I am. So in that sense, my followers are really, really incredible at supporting the people who I support, which I am so, so, so grateful for. So I think that like anytime I kind of bring someone new into my life, they like go ham and are just incredibly supportive of that person, which is so like is just incredible.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people look at you and they're like, this dude is like a fucking superhero, just in terms of like the energy, the talent, etc. And then they like look at your brother and it's awesome because they're able to see like a little bit more of like a toned down version of like more of a normal human being. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
That's tight. Yeah. And because probably a lot, probably the reason why a lot of people want to watch your videos together is just because they want to see how that dynamic plays out.
It's a funny contrast.
Oh, yeah.
Like we have a show that's going on every Sunday on my YouTube channel, Brother and Sister.
Quick promo.
Yeah, quick promo.
And oh, so it's a show now.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like we literally watched like the rough cut of yesterday's or of Sunday's episode before it went up, and we were both crying laughing, like at our own show. And that I never like. I find it usually hard to watch my own videos. Like after, like I'll watch it like once it's up, or like in the editing process, to make sure it's good. Uh-huh. But that's not like I like. I just find myself awkward to watch on camera. So like the fact that I was sitting there crying laughing at myself. Hello. Like it's a series that we're very proud of, and I think it's a very funny dynamic that people definitely enjoy seeing.
Yeah.
Just two very different spectrums coming together.
That's a very good sign. How is it perceived, his success and like your success? How is it perceived being that you're still like in your hometown and shit?
I mean, people kinda like talk shit and say like he just like made me famous. Well, like he did, but like
big deal. Yeah, right, you're not gonna take the opportunity, yeah, you get it?
Exactly. I didn't like say he didn't, so I don't know. Opportunities are like given to me, so I don't know why I wouldn't take them. So
yeah, exactly. How could you not?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Anybody with a brain would take an opportunity like
that.
My
girl says that to me. She's like, you know, I feel bad because sometimes these girls look up to me, and it's like I feel like they're just looking up to me because they think I'm cute or whatever. And I'm like, hey, you know, you got it. You got to use it. Like,
yeah. Anybody looking up to anybody is awesome. And like I was saying before, I have become. Like I've been put in this role model position, not willingly, but it kind of happens as soon as you grow an online following with young kids, especially. Like, hello, anybody with that opportunity, no matter who it is, should take that. Yeah. Always.
In what ways are you using the opportunities that you've been given, just in the sense that a lot more people know who you are and stuff?
I mean, like brands have hit me up.
Have you done the brand deals?
I'm working on them.
Okay.
I helped him negotiate one this morning that he was about ready to accept, that I was scared at the level of money he was going to accept for something. I was spooked.
Wait, so you think he was selling himself short?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yeah. With the level of engagement that he has on his Instagram because of my followers, absolutely.
But are you sort of like insecure about it because you're like, I can't believe somebody wants to give me like thousands and thousands of dollars without, you know, really having to do much?
I was in the shower when I got the email and I was like ready to accept it, like before I even talked to him.
Right. Because it's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have a job or anything?
No.
Did you ever?
No.
Why not? You guys ever have jobs?
I worked at a frozen yogurt shop for a year before I started doing, while I was still doing YouTube in the beginning Instagram.
Teach you what it's like to be a regular guy, yeah.
My mom forced me to do it. I've always been a social media person before I was in the beauty space. Mm-hmm. I used to run a Twitter account when I was 11, and then I transitioned over to Tumblr and made
what
theme.
Twitter account was this?
That's what kids do.
Oh my God. You were 11?
Yeah.
And you understood like the concept of running like a meme type account like that?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what it was.
What were some example tweets?
Oh, I would rather die right now than even try to think of things that I would say when I was 11.
It was like shoving their hand in the peanut butter jar.
No, it was probably like, oh, that feeling when.
Oh,
I don't even know. Like that awkward moment when some stupid shit happens. This is the most 11-year-old things ever. But I grew the account to around like 80,000 followers.
What?
I was making money off of ads on that. And then that account, I got scammed out of it actually because I was fucking stupid. And someone was like, oh my God, let's trade passwords for the week. And it was like a big account. And I was like, oh my God, it sounds really good and fresh.
So
and then I did it. And then I was like, oh my God. I like remember crying over it for weeks on end. But luckily before I did that, I had a little bit of money saved up. So I was able to buy an iMac and like start like.
You made enough money from an iMac from a Twitter account when you were 11?
Yeah, I did ads.
You didn't know this about your brother?
Yes, yeah, you did.
I'm astonished.
I do not remember this.
Well, you were like doing whatever at the time. I don't even know.
I was like eight,
this is when we weren't friends. So I like bought an iMac and then I had built up a Tumblr account prior to that. And I was selling themes on Tumblr. I used to like code HTML and all that stuff when I was like 12 and 13. And I was running ads on my blog on there as well. And then I eventually sold my Tumblr account in exchange for promotion on Instagram accounts. And I started Instagram accounts called Nick Post and Lyrical Paradise, which is the Nickelodeon account and a Song Lyrics account, which are both really stupid. But I built those accounts up back when the Instagram popular page was a thing.
Mm.
And eventually sold those for, I think, like 15,000 when I was 14.
Dude,
so that money
I
used.
Why do I not know any of this?
Well, if you paid attention to me for like 3 seconds, maybe you would.
God, if anybody had any doubt that you had a lot going on upstairs, I think the moment where they realized that you were 11 running like successful social media accounts probably proves it. And that's like early. It's one thing if you were an 11-year-old and you could figure out how to run an Instagram account or whatever now, because there's so many people doing it. But like 8 years ago, like social media was not like figured out.
I've always like just loved it. I'm a very, very business savvy, and like that's what I'm truly passionate about. Like I feel like I have definitely succeeded in what I do because of my business sense. There is no way that I'd be here without it.
Right.
Especially with some of the scandals that I've had and been involved with. There is no fucking way I could have gotten out of them without like being smart about it and playing my cards right. And I think that, like, oh, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Hello.
You were thinking about Ebola?
No, I was not thinking about Ebola. I was thinking about how there is no... actually, two cases of Ebola were just found in Africa this week.
So you were right.
No, I was not right. I was not right at all. Regardless, I definitely like have always been very, very business-oriented and love business. That's like my true 100% passion. Like, I definitely believe that I will probably get bored of makeup one day, but I like plan to be the CEO of some huge business by then, hopefully.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So yeah. I've definitely always been like in tune to like the social media type world. So like that's kind of why like I'm trying to help Ian out with this. And like, that's why I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. Cause there is a huge business aspect behind it.
Oh, so do you feel like that's kind of going to be part of your role, is sort of like showing him how to like transition into embracing his own stardom?
Yeah,
yeah,
I feel that.
Regardless, do you want that? You seem a little uneasy with it, perhaps.
I mean, like, now that it's, like, started already, and I kind of have to go with it, I don't, like, see why I wouldn't, so.
Yeah, well, it's probably, I mean, I don't know how much this brand deal you just got is, but I'm sure that you know how much you could potentially make at, like, a job that you would go to college and get, and probably the brand deal is a lot more.
Yeah, a lot more.
That probably has got to be enough motivation right there. Even if you don't love being on camera, it's kind of like, well, there's a good chance I'm not going to have to go work at, like, Chase Bank or something. No offense to the Chase Bank employees out there.
We love Chase Bank.
We love you. We love you. This episode is sponsored by Chase Bank. No, we got to talk about the FTP fandom. You got the sticker right here and you got the shirt on.
Yep.
You got a brand deal from FTP. Is that what we're talking about?
I wish.
Damn, Zach. You want me to plug you with him?
Yeah.
I better help you out. Word. Yeah. I mean, you got a million followers. I'm going to send you a t-shirt. When did you realize that you were smart? And did your parents embrace this in any way? I feel like your parents would probably want to put you on Adderall.
Oh my God.
Like, no, this is too much.
I've always been a very, I've been a smart kid always. I was always in AP classes and I always received very, very good grades in school.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Yeah, not Sister Ian, unfortunately. But I just work really hard at everything that I do. And if I'm going into something, I go big or go home for sure. And school is definitely one of those things. I knew that I wanted to get out early.
Mm-hmm.
Or before I knew I wanted to get out early, I knew I wanted a good job or a good college to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always worked pretty hard at what I've done. But when I started doing social media, they were pretty supportive. Like when I was doing the Twitter account, I got suspended on it because you have to be 13 to own a Twitter account. And I posted in my bio saying that I was 11 because I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. And they deleted my fucking account. Mom had to write a letter to them saying that she was like technically running the account and I was just coming up with the content in order to like get it passed legally.
How does Lil Tay still have an Instagram?
I don't know. I would love for it to be deleted.
You're not a fan.
She commented on my picture a few days ago. Or my friend Lauren posted a picture with me, and she commented on, I was like, unfollowed. I was like, bye, rat.
Unfollowed? Like, she wants these hands?
I would love to see her try to put them on me.
Wow, that's crazy. No, because, I mean, I think it's... I mean, number one, when I hear that, I'm not thinking that it's probably her leaving the comment. For some reason, I feel like there's got to be a lot of other people using it.
Yeah, but
I've known quite a few guys who claimed that they were like managing her or whatever at a certain point, and then it just...
I'm scared of that.
Didn't work out,
yeah. And also in my head, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you thought this was a good idea? You wanted to manage this girl? Like,
yeah.
I mean, she clearly has a lot of potential, like... business-wise, I guess, but like that's what you want to, you know, just like
she blew up really fast.
She's got a fan base. She could definitely make some money. So that's like probably what these guys are like attracted to.
True,
like,
true.
But at the same time, it's like you want to like involve yourself in that and like be around this environment. Like, you know, the desire to like, you know, it, like if some rapper was like, you want to go on tour with me or whatever, it would be like, okay, that sounds kind of fun. But like if Lil Tay asked me to go on tour with her, I'd be like, what are we gonna do? We're gonna go to Chuck E. Cheese every night,
or scream at people and just record Instagram videos the entire time.
You know what the weird part about her is? That she really uses like so many of Lil Pump's catchphrases and lyrics that it's almost like she's like a little girl playing Lil Pump. Like, she should get her hair done exactly
her
like him.
Her existence in general is just strange to me.
Is this how you feel? Because it's probably how a lot of people feel about you too.
Probably. I hope so. I just can't, like, I just want to know who's, like, letting her do all these things. Like, where are her parents?
You didn't hear that her mom got fired from her job as a real estate agent because she was letting her film all those crazy videos and all these expensive houses?
Well, good.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
That's how it, oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Of course you would get fired for that.
Oh my God,
yeah.
That does make sense.
No, that's real. There's a bunch of cool articles about her that came out like last week.
You know what? Good for her. She's doing something with her life more than most 9-year-olds. I wish her the best. I hope one day she realizes that she can... get attention and do something with her life without being as weird as she is.
But I mean, the thing is that she's not so much doing it herself. I think most of us assume it seems like someone else is kind of like
someone that's puppeteering her, which is fine. Mm-hmm. They clearly have a vision in mind, so I'm very curious to watch from the sidelines and see where things go. I just hope that the girl has respect for the people around her. That's all I can hope.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, as a 9-year-old, are you really like capable of consenting to going on camera and swearing and doing all this stuff? That like saying the F word on camera is not a big deal when you're an adult, but like for her, it's like, is she going to be able to go back to school? Is she going to be able to go to junior high with all these crazy videos out there?
I just wish her the best. I wish no hate on anybody. I just hope that she's able to live her life and just be respectful of other people around her.
It's so crazy just to think that, like, I'm sitting over here marveling at the fact that you got as big as you've gotten in like a year or two, but then meanwhile, like, Lil Tay is 9.
Once again, wish her the best.
Does that make you feel old?
No.
Okay.
I think I kind of got started early on as well, and I still feel very young at heart, just in the sense that I have like started early, but at the same time I have been forced to grow up ridiculously fast. So it's kind of like a mix of both, I guess.
Dude, you've gone viral so many times for things good and bad, like I so many things that I didn't realize, like, oh, I didn't realize you were the first cover boy. Like, I had no idea that was you, and I remember when that went viral. Like, you know, that how did that come about?
From Instagram, literally. I did, my yearbook photo went viral first, and I had retaken my yearbook photo because it came out the worst. So I redid it with the ring light and then retouched it with the photography company. And it went in the yearbook. The story went viral. That's how I started like really, really gaining on Instagram. And then CoverGirl reached out to me and were like, we're working on a new campaign. We would love to have you be the face of the brand. And I was like, holy shit, that is the coolest opportunity ever in the entire world. We did the shoe. Nobody really thought it was going to be as big as it really was.
Did you make that connection at the time? Like, I'm the first dude who's done this.
No, I don't even, like, I don't know. It's just, like, I was with my old manager at the time, who was amazing, and we just, like, the opportunity came our way. It was a decent paycheck when I was 16. It was my first, like, big brand deal ever, I guess. So we were just, like, really excited for the opportunity in general. But I think, like, once it launched, and like every news outlet ever was calling us and asking for interviews and like wanting me on the Ellen Show and wanting me on like Good Morning America, I think that's when it really kind of set into place. I was like, whoa.
It's a perfect kind of news story, because it's like, people are just going to have such a strong reaction to it. Either like, that's amazing, that's so good for, you know, the future of this country, or no, fuck that. Like, this is the end of our country.
And I think that's been with a lot of my, the reactions into a lot of my different viral moments, which I think is the reason, like, what's kind of propelled me to where I am, which I also kind of now use to my advantage.
Like, the benefit of you going viral like that so many times is that the people who actually are going to fuck with you are going to find out about you through it. The bad side is that all these, like, homophobes and, like, people that probably aren't inclined to like you are obviously going to find out about too. Right. But, I mean, he gives a
which
shit
I
about
don't
that.
Care
yeah,
about.
Who cares?
It's taken me a long time to kind of realize that, but now I definitely am well aware of that and use that to my advantage. But I don't think none of us really knew how big it was going to get. And I think that because of CoverGirl and because of, like, my contract with them, because of the level that I was put on our initial launch, gave like put me where I am today and kind of took me outside of like the influencer world and kind of almost brought me into like traditional celebrity media type world. If like that sounds really like obnoxious to say, but like every news article ever was like talking about it. And like even to this day, like if I do get into a scandal, it's a lot more than like some stupid YouTube drama channel making a video about it. Like there's always like news outlets posting about it, which doesn't really happen with a lot of other people.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of go past that ceiling of like drama alert and shit.
Yeah. It's like, now it's like I say something stupid on Twitter and like CNN is talking about it, or like Good Morning America is writing an article, or like,
does that scare the shit out of you just knowing that you say something that's not that big a deal and it would go crazy?
It's absolutely horrifying. And that's why I said it's forced me to grow up really quickly and do a lot of PR training and kind of learn what I can and can't say and how to say things that I want to say that maybe might not be the best in a manner that is better. And it's just taught me to be a very careful person, but it's also made me a way better person today than I was 3 years ago. Like I said, I never really went into this wanting to be a role model, but it kind of happened. Like, it just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah. And I've obviously now realized there's no going back. And I don't really want to go back either, but it's kind of forced me to be a really great role model for the kids that are watching me, and I do want to be the best version of myself that I possibly can be.
It's so weird because you're always going to be battling back and forth between those two ideas of, like, I want to just be myself or I want to be a good role model.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard. I was watching something with a Ninja, the Fortnite streamer, who's, like, yeah, literally the biggest YouTuber who's blown up. And he was saying that is that, like, that's what made him basically want to stop swearing in his videos and streams and everything, is that he had so many young kids coming up to him with his, with their parents, and the parents were like, oh, I wish you didn't swear so we could watch it, you know? And at a certain point, it's kind of like, you got to decide, like, what you want to be. Like, for me, I'm so, like, being, like, an authentic version of myself, yeah, that I don't think it would be worth it to be like, yeah, I'm going to clean it up for the 8-year-olds, yeah, you know? We're going to ruin the 8-year-old's life. Like, if they're watching, yeah, this, their life's probably already over. Yeah. So let's just, like, get that out of the way right now. But, yeah, so from your perspective, were there things that you would have said that you, like, kind of miss, like, having the freedom to say back then, or?
Well, like, I mean, you brought up the Ebola scandal earlier, and, like, that's obviously the elephant of my career. I definitely think that, like, that was a huge mistake in my life, but if I were a normal everyday person, nobody would have cared about it. Exactly. And what is, like, what was infuriating to me dealing with that situation is I'm literally not racist. I have never, like, and when that did get brought up, people found out, like, my old tweets from, like, 2012 as well, which all, like, some of them had racial undertones to them, but not, like, I have never once said anything in my entire life to degrade somebody because of their skin tone. Mm. I definitely had an ego when I was 12. There's no denying that. And I thought I was better than people, but never because of the color of my skin or their skin.
I love that we're calling people out for shit they said they were 12.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I do think people, like, should be held accountable for the shitty things that they said. And, like, I said, I've definitely become a better person from being called out for that stuff. But it also is really frustrating at the same time because nobody would have cared if I was a normal person. And they, like, people twist everything apart when they're mad at people and, like, want to have that, like, woke Twitter, lots of likes, viral tweet moment to just drag somebody and you feel like they're part of something bigger. And I've definitely been the victim of that a lot of times.
But, like, isn't it weird because when it's happening to you for the first time or whatever, like, I was reading you talking about just sitting in your hotel room in Africa just crying for a week or two or whatever, and I felt so bad for you just thinking, like, when that was happening to you the first time, you definitely didn't know that it wasn't going to be that big a deal in the long run.
No.
You know?
I don't want to get emotional. Sorry. I don't want to get emotional thinking about it, but, like, literally the whole situation was insane. Like, I tweeted it when I was in the airport in fucking Albany, New York, before we were taking off with our flight. It was a conversation with my best friend, Megan.
And what was the direct quote, just so people can judge without having to look it up?
Yeah, it was, I was talking to her. We were talking about going to Africa. And I said, oh, my God, we're going to Africa. Hope we don't get Ebola. So stupid to say. But once again, had no racial intent, was not saying everybody in Africa has Ebola. And my friend Megan, if you knew her, literally one of the dumbest people on the planet, love her the most, though. She replied and was like, oh, my God, we didn't get it at Chipotle last year. We're going to be fine. So she mixed up Ebola, the deadly virus, and E. coli, the meat disease.
Right.
And if you knew Megan, this was just the most... I mean, Ian can attest, this was just the most Megan sentence ever.
Yeah, she's pretty dumb.
Still love her the most, though.
Megan, so, I don't even know you, and I kind of feel bad for you, so.
But as soon as she said that, I was like, oh my God, that is the funniest thing ever. I need to tweet it right now. So I tweeted it, not thinking anything of it, because like I said, I didn't have any harmful intent behind it. At this point, too, like I said, I'm very good at business. Like, even if I wanted to say something like that that was going to be harmful, which I never would, why would I tweet that? And that's what people, like, people always say that, too, like, oh, you only apologize because you got caught. Well, first of all, that's how an apology works. Second of all, I would never have tweeted this if I knew where it was going to go to begin with. And, like, but now being called out for, I realize my mistakes. Regardless, flew to Africa, 26-hour flight. It happened before I took off. Bought Wi-Fi, obviously, on the plane to try to deal with it. Wi-Fi didn't work because we were across the ocean the whole time. Had no cell phone signal. Cried the entire plane ride. Landed in Africa. My parents could not afford to buy me an international plan, which I also tweeted about before I left. I was like, wow, can't wait to not have to deal with Twitter for a week of people being offended over nothing. And people are like, wow, can't believe you think that Africa's only tiki huts and there's no cell phone service there. I was like, no, my parents just can't afford an international plan to get me internet service while I was there.
You're too big. Like, if people are going to be, like, calling you out for stuff like that, it's just kind of like, it's like a certain thing that happens where you're so well known and your image just hasn't been tarnished at all yet, so that they have to grab onto anything.
They were ready. But at that time, I didn't know. And I wasn't ready for that. And I had never been prepped for anything like that. And I didn't really know the extent of my recognition around the world and because of CoverGirl, I guess it was a lot bigger, clearly, than what I thought it was. But
exactly.
As soon as I got to Africa, we got to the hotel and I bought Wi-Fi and I started reading through the tweets and I just started bawling. Mm. And I was alone the entire night, like crying and crying and crying and crying because I thought my career was over. I didn't want to tweet, and I was instructed by my PR team to not tweet and to not address it and to let it die down. And of course, it didn't die down.
Really?
Over the course of 10 days. And there was one experience on the trip that changed everything, where I went to a high school and talked to kids, which I have talked about in my Blank Canvas video, which I don't need to get into because I'm definitely going to start crying, and I don't want to start crying if I talk about that. But that was like the turning point. And from then I realized, like, fuck, like, there are a lot of people looking up to me about this and a lot of people that are going to still support me once I kind of own my shit and talk about like where I was coming from in this. And once they realize, oh my God, this kid doesn't hate black people and doesn't think everybody in Africa has Ebola. Because I never did.
Right.
But it was just an infuriating situation that at the time seemed like it was the end of the world.
It's so crazy because what you said, A, was funny. B, was not racist. C, it's just that like what you said, like, I probably would have gone through the same thought process that you probably would have now, where you're like, damn, that was funny, but I'm not going to tweet it because the way that some people are going to observe it is like, it's just not a joke that like translates well enough into Twitter, you know?
I'm well in tune to that now. Like, I can tell you, we look through, my editor and I look through all my videos like 67 times before anything goes live ever, to make sure that like we're being so careful, not even to like avoid scandals, just because like I saw how hurt people were by that, and I don't want to do that to people. Like, it was obviously a harmless joke that obviously was not a joke, but I didn't realize it wasn't a joke until I got called out for it. And like I said, because of that, I've been way better educated on what I can and can't say and what's going to offend people, and I don't want to offend anybody, especially the people that are supporting me. But it has been a really intense learning process, because like the internet has changed a lot, and what you can and can't say now is way different than what you could and couldn't say when I was 12 and when I was tweeting stupid shit, just like every other 12-year-old.
Yeah, because I mean, I think a lot of like what's changed about our culture is really good in terms of like, you know, people being held accountable for their actions, like things being brought to light. But then a lot of times you just sort of like wonder like, where is the room for like forgiveness and all this, in the sense of like, especially when we're talking about something that a 12-year-old said on Twitter. It's like, are we really acting like he, like that you at 18 is the same thing as you when you were 12? Like, clearly you've changed so much as a person that's those 6 years.
Well, yeah, I think that I agree with you. Everything, like, it's great to be held accountable for your actions. Like I said, I am. Like, I've become so much of a better person and a smarter person because of it, too, especially dealing with online social media and trolls and people being offended. But at the same time, I think that we're very quickly losing sight of what's really bad and what really does need to be called out for, because the littlest things are getting called out left and right. And people are like, people's careers are being ruined.
Social media is way better at pulling people apart than like bringing them together.
Oh, 100%.
At least at this point. That's like what we need, new tools to help you know, bring people together in, through these kind of situations, or like not even new tools, but new ways of like communicating with each other, because I feel like there's like a real struggle there. People want to make the world a better place, but they need to realize that just like pushing people outside of your little group is not the way to like bring people together, you know?
Absolutely. I wish there was, like, people would realize that people can grow and people can learn. I'm literally walking proof of that. And I do my best to show my followers that every single day. And like you said beforehand, the people that don't care and don't want to like me are never going to like me. But I definitely have grown a lot, and I feel like I've done my absolute best to show that and really like be my best version of myself. And I feel like I've gained a lot of the people back who may have made a bad judgment the first time based on misrepresentation of me and what I tweeted, thinking like I've grown and people have seen that, which has been awesome.
If they're gonna dip out on you and like believe some bullshit about you immediately, it's like, whatever, bro, you weren't a real fan in the first place.
I want people that are willing, like I said, like I believe in forgiving people for their mistakes and allowing people to learn and grow, and I want fans that think like that too.
Right.
I don't want like little robots that are gonna follow me no matter what the fuck I do and always support me and like eat my ass. Like, there are some social media...
What the hell?
Wait.
There are some... We don't need to be shady and throw any names, but there are definitely some social media people that have, like, kid fans that are fucking robots, and, like, they could kill someone, and their friends would be like, wow, love you the most. Like, put that on a t-shirt, please. Need to buy that.
Well, Logan Paul basically did kill someone. I mean, he didn't kill him, but, you know, he was there. He watched it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
But that hasn't, I mean, I guess his views are down a bit, like him and Jake Paul, I believe, are down a bit, but I don't believe that it's like really like that was the thing that fucked his career up.
I think there's a lot of things that have messed up certain people's careers online and have hurt certain people, whether it be a personal mistake, personal behaviors, or video content of dead people in forests. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I think that I'm grateful that I have fans that'll call me out for me doing stupid shit or other people doing stupid shit. Cause like I said, I don't want fucking robots. I want real people supporting me that recognize you can learn and grow, because that's human behavior.
Mm. Are you always like amazed by your fan base and like the way, like, or what are your thoughts when you really look at your fans, and when have you been able to see like giant groups of people together? Cause you've like shut down meet and greets at various things, yeah. Right?
I've only done a few meet and greets in my career, but I'm going on tour soon, which is going to be so fucking exciting, and I literally cannot wait. But the meet and greets that I have done have all been crazy.
New York City.
Yeah, like insane. But it's so cool to me, and it's just like I have literally all walks of life of fans, which is insane. Like, I am a family-friendly channel, so I do have young followers, but I also have a lot of parents that watch me too, and a lot of grandparents that have been like, wow, I like watch your videos with my granddaughters all the time, and like you've changed my perspective on boys and gay people, and like that means a lot to me. So I definitely have people like everywhere watching me, which is so cool.
You probably must have such a big influence on just like young gay dudes who are like, fuck, like you just made, like, you know, they need role models to like show them like how they can be, and to be able to look at you and see you so confident and stuff while they're like 13 and like scared to death and don't know what the fuck's gonna happen to them at school. That must be so like, that must just be such a great feeling on your part just to know that you could have that effect on them.
Literally, like I was saying before, the makeup industry can be incredibly repetitive, and like as someone who's really in it for the art, it doesn't really inspire me that much anymore. So I'm doing my best to inspire myself by really putting out like cool content that I'm having fun doing, but literally like my fans are literally the only reason I'm still here. Like if I didn't grow a fan base or like sign with CoverGirl and get to where I am now, I probably wouldn't be doing this anymore, because I started doing this for the creative looks, and I always hated glam looks, and now I have to do it for events and photo shoots and stuff. But if I was like, if I still had the following that I had a few years ago, 3 years later, I 100% would have quit by now, because I would have been definitely brain dead from trying to come up with creative looks all the time. I would have 100% been out of ideas, and I wouldn't have had a fan base to preach to, but I also wouldn't have been inspired to do like put out really cool content for my followers. Cause that's what I'm doing it for. Mm. I'm doing it for myself to like push myself really hard and puts out really cool shit. But I'm someone who always, like, and Ian can attest to this too, like I always used to get into hobbies and quit after like a month.
That's a fact.
Like all the time. Like, so like I probably would have gotten bored with makeup really early in, because I would have ran out of ideas of stuff to do and to have fun with. And if I didn't have a following base, it's like my followers that push me and are the ones who are lighting that internal flame in me to keep forcing myself to keep putting out good content.
So do you feel like, when you think about what actually motivates you, are you're not motivated by money so much? Would you say you're motivated by like growing your audience?
Or? I'm motivated by business, and money of course comes with that, but I'm not someone who's like, wow, I need to make $10 million this year. Like, I'm someone who's like, wow, I want to be the number one in my entire industry. I want to sell out a product and I want it to fly off the fucking shelves. I want to have the number one video on the trending page. I want to create a series that nobody's ever done before. And of course money will come with that, but I'm not really motivated by the money. I'm just motivated by really doing shit that nobody's ever seen before. Hello, Kitty.
Cat,
I'm motivated
not
by
for
doing...
this one.
I'm just motivated by doing shit that nobody's ever seen before, and really just like inspiring myself and like keeping that internal flame lit. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. Because it's like, when I think about it, there was a period where when the money on YouTube was really good before the whole demonetization wave, which I'm assuming probably hasn't hit you that hard. But, you know, before all that stuff started to happen, where when I think about it, I really started to get motivated by the money. Whereas beforehand, I was literally just motivated by the idea of like, I just want as many people to see the shit that I'm making as possible. And then when the money kind of fell out a little bit, that's when it really started to hit me like, oh, like, I'm making a completely inconsequential amount of money off every video I make, and it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm literally just trying to get people to see this, and whatever. The money part doesn't matter at all. And that's all. Like, the money thing is always just going to be a long-term thing, because there's always going to be a way that you could do a brand deal, or you can make a product, or you could do whatever. And it's like, sometimes those analytics, people get strung out on the analytics.
Well, I mean, same thing for me. Like, like we said, the money does come regardless. So even like while looking at my analytics and looking at the money, for me, it's not like, wow, I need to make, it's not like, wow, like I want to be rich. It's like, wow, I want to make more money next month than I did this month. But once again, not for the sake of the money, just for the sake of one-upping myself.
The money is just the way you keep score. And just
pushing myself to work harder. Yeah.
It's the points on the board, but it's not really like... Yeah, you know, because at a certain point, pretty much, like, you know, if you met some guy tomorrow who's got, like, $100 million, it's like, well, that's dope. But it's like, is he really, like, that much happier than me because he has $100 million?
Money cannot buy happiness.
Yeah.
I've cried myself to sleep so many times while having so much money, way more than every average 18-year-old should have in their bank account, and I've still cried myself to sleep and been depressed countless times.
Yeah.
Money does not buy happiness. Money can buy material items that may temporarily buy happiness, but it definitely cannot... happiness is not tangible, unfortunately.
Do you feel...
If money could buy happiness, I would have bought it by now.
But do you feel like... Because a lot of kids, I think, like, assume that if they had a shitload of money that they would just be happy as fuck and they would be buying crazy outfits and every day and everything. Does it kind of make you just, like, fall back on that kind of stuff? Because that's sort of something I realize is, like, oh, damn, like, I could buy as much fucking designer clothes as I want. It's really not going to, like, move my happiness level one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
That's what I'm trying to do.
You're trying to buy enough Gucci that you don't care about Gucci anymore?
Not Gucci, but yeah.
What? FTP? Vintage FTP?
Yeah.
The product placement is strong.
Yeah, we're very different, as you can see. I definitely like to save a lot more of my money. I'm not really... I do buy designer things. I like to treat myself, but only once again for hitting, like, milestones. Like, if I'll have a really great month, I'll be like, oh, I'll go buy myself, like, a new bracelet or, like, a new sweatshirt or, like, nice item for, like, working really hard. But I'm not, like, a... I'm, like, I save my money much smarter than
you. Go tear up the Old Navy.
Yeah. Maybe Forever 21 at least, not Old Navy, but
Forever 21's better. I don't know if I've been in either one in a long time.
Top Man. Yeah, Forever 21's pretty lit. Top Shop is good.
Top Man. Has all his success changed the way that girls act towards you?
Yeah.
Like a lot?
Yeah. Like, everyone's obsessed with me now.
Really?
People that didn't talk to me talk to me now. It's kind of annoying.
But are you talking about, like, girls at school, or are you talking about, like, the girls who are DMing you?
Like, both, basically.
Damn, that must be crazy. I bet you have girls, because you're, like, sort of in the middle of nowhere. I bet you have girls who want to take, like, voyages from, like, Pennsylvania. Like, I want to drive 6 hours to suck your dick.
Yeah, I get, like, emails from, like,
I knew it.
Come to prom with me. I'm like, nah, you live in Alaska.
Bro, I get the come to prom with me ones. I'm like, you know how fucking old I am?
Why?
If, like, I go near your prom, they should call the cops. Like, I don't, that's not good optics for me to be there. That looks weird. That. Yeah. It's just not, it's not a good look, you know? Like, maybe as a chaperone, but even then, like, I don't think it's probably not the look.
I don't know. I love that.
Oh God, can we just talk about your, well, I mean, I know you had mad looks for Coachella, but the one with your ass cheek hanging out, half leather pants, half ass cheek hanging out. And those pants were custom. So you did this. They did not come that way. And you just decided to throw them on.
Yes.
You went out and got that look.
I had all three of my Coachella looks custom designed by a designer out here in LA named Brian Hearns. He is insane. He designs for the biggest celebrities in the entire world. He's done outfits for Kylie, Ariana, Rihanna, everybody you could possibly think of. He has made clothes for and has slayed them. So the fact that he's even, like, wanting to work with me is such an honor. And we, like, got connected through a friend, and we just, like, went ham. And, like, I'm, the Coachella outfits shook the fucking internet. Like, it was definitely one of those moments that was controversial. The people that were mad about it were really mad for no reason.
But you knew that you were going to have that effect when you got on there. Absolutely.
That's why I did it. Yes. I gained 300,000 followers that weekend.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'll do anything for 300,000 followers.
Yeah.
I'll wear those pants. I'll wear them right now.
But. Literally, just followers go back down to zero.
Yeah, I'll probably lose 300,000.
I just think I've always been someone who has not really been the best at fashion. I don't really, I've just had some very iffy looks. Yeah. And my follower, it kind of got to a point where literally, like, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what to wear tonight. And my followers would be like, oh, guarantee you're going to wear your Nike black jumpsuit and your black Adidas with your black watch and your black backwards leather baseball hat. And I was like, oh my God, am I really that predictable?
You use that look too many times?
Yeah.
Way too many times.
Yeah. But from then on, I was like, fuck, I need to step it up. So then I started doing my own clothing lines, and I have Sisters Apparel. But I also was like, I need to just have, like, my event outfits, at least my event outfits. Like, my everyday outfits can be, like, whatever. Like, to go to Starbucks and shit and get my pinkity trinkities. But my event outfits need to, like, at least be good. Like, I need to stop wearing fucking hoodies to events. So
yeah, me too, right?
So I've tried to, like, step up my game. So now working with him has been amazing. And I just knew. Also, my Coachella outfits last year were fucking horrible. I did them 2 days beforehand and they were bad.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating that, like, Coachella for somebody like you is basically like the Grammys, or like, you know, like, your outfit really does matter, because in the social media age, it's like, you don't have to worry about there being a whole red carpet full of photographers. It's like, no, they're going to get you either way.
Oh, they're going to get, well, because we're going to post that.
Yeah, and you're going to post it.
Yeah. There's going to be a million YouTube videos talking about it. Mm. Like, love it, hate it.
Like, there's a lot of things that when I think about them, like, you know, I was never real into Halloween. Never, like, dressed up too much as an adult. I'm just not really, like, that kind of person that's, like, into, like, you know, getting all dolled up or anything. But, like, in the social media age, when I watch, like, Jesse Wands and he's, like, dressing up as the Silver Surfer and going viral as fuck because he's got this crazy costume, I'm like, okay, well, I'm into, like, you know, doing shit that's gonna go viral, so I guess I gotta get on that.
Well, I'm like I said, I'm the type of person, go big or go home. So when my Coachella outfits last year were the worst, this year I was like, I've known forever, like as soon as I fucking took my photos last year, I was like, okay, next year I need to set my game up. Like, what are you doing, James? So this year I knew right away that I wanted to make them great. So I, but then of course they ended up being what they were, and they were really great, and I loved how they all turned out. But it just like kind of all fell into place, and I was ready to fucking shake off the internet and my ass cheeks, apparently.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Did it feel weird when you're looking at your brother wearing those pants? You like think he was a chick for a second? You're like, well, damn.
People were commenting shit. It's kind of hard to not like comment back because it's pissing me off.
What, people are commenting being like, your brother looks gay in his pants?
Fucking shit. I like tweeted about it.
That sucks, man.
He did tweet about it, actually. That meant a lot to me.
You're young, but like, I mean, in time, you're just, you know, it's just a toughening up process. Cause like, I saw my girlfriend when she first started popping on YouTube and just was getting so much fucking hate. And it was like, I had to like coach her through it. Like, listen, like you can't think about these people like they're real people. Like these are not real people. Like, you have to act as if these
they're
people
are not real people. They're all fucking pussies that are sitting behind an anonymous profile picture with a different name. And like, they're just leaving hate comments thinking that their opinion matters.
And even if you're the freaking governor of like Nebraska and like you're talking shit about me in my Instagram comments, it's still like, I mean, like, what the fuck do I care? Like, I'm not asking everybody to like me.
Right. You know? Yeah. I love my Coachella outfits. I felt confident. I felt great, and they gave me a whole lot of followers, and I loved wearing them. So. And the video on my YouTube channel got like over 5 million views in a few days. That was really good and fresh and fun.
That's unbelievable. I don't know how you get so many fucking views every video. That's so crazy.
Thank you.
You got an army out there.
The sisters come prepared. The sisters.
Where did that exactly come from? And also, I think it's funny when I say it because I sound like fucking Mr. T saying that. Or no, Hulk Hogan. When he goes, hey, brother. I'm like, hey, sister.
That's fucking Ian in our videos together.
Yeah. Brother, sister.
Literally, sister came out of nowhere and started last year on, not this past Halloween, but the Halloween before that. Mm. And I have a really close group of friends that I still am super close with out here in LA. They were like my LA family when I moved out here alone when I was still 17. So I like needed a group to rely on. And I, before I had this hair, I used to have a man bun, and it was so fucking bad. And
I like this better.
Yeah, me too. I think anybody with two eyes would like this better. But thank you. During the final stages before she got snipped off, it was like a rat's nest. It was fucking horrible. And I would always wear backwards baseball hats to not only reduce the size of my forehead, but also hide the fucking man bun. Mm. So when Halloween came 2 years ago, I did that dead deer look that I was talking about earlier. And I wanted to wear antlers, but I was like, holy shit, I can't. How am I going to wear antlers and a baseball hat at the same time without it looking stupid? So my really good friend...
Still did look stupid.
It did not look stupid. It was a good look. Fuck you. I'll pull it up literally right now. I'm going to show you.
Hold on, guys. No fighting.
Oh, literally.
Okay.
Let me pull this up right now. So...
I don't think we care.
He does care. I want him to see this look because it's a good look.
I like all the looks.
You're being a little bitch.
Nah.
My best friend Laura's dad is also a contractor. So he's like a handyman, just like our dad.
Okay.
And he helped me rig together a black backwards baseball hat with a pair of deer antlers. And for some reason, when he handed me that, I was just like, oh, thanks, sister. And it just kind of came out. And we're like, what the heck? And then from then on, me and my close friends all started calling each other sister. And it was like the name of our group chat. And then when it came time to asking my followers what they should be called, because I was already calling all my best friends sister, it just kind of fell into place and made sense for me to call like my fans sister, because I hate the word fans. And I like to think of them as like more of like a family, and like they're all my best friends. Right. So it just kind of happened naturally. And now it's literally become one of like the biggest memes on the internet. We literally invented the fucking word.
Which I feel like you've had a lot of like influences on slang and like, well, how early on like the whole, like, I feel like gay dudes are always turning everything into like she and her.
Yeah.
They're like, take the pronouns.
That
of
one
like,
is not mine.
No, yeah. Because it was a few years ago, I hung out with this girl, and she was like a stewardess, and she took me back to this apartment she was staying at, and it was like just a bunch of gay dudes there, and like one of them, as soon as he looked at me, I just hear from the other side of the room, well, she's a tall drink of water. And I'm just like, she? Like, I didn't say it, but like, I never heard, like, yeah. But that is like such a fucking funny thing, is like turning.
The gay lingo is a funny world.
Changing it to
world.
She.
This yeah. is the look, by the way, that Ian thinks is so bad.
Oh my god, it's hard. This isn't a drawing, this is a real thing.
No, this
that
is
actually
a real thing, yeah.
What the fuck, it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah,
you went crazy.
This is one of my favorite looks that I've ever done, so fuck you first of all for saying
yeah,
it's
fuck
bad.
You Ian. Shape up.
But yeah, it's kind of become this like huge thing now. I have a clothing line, Sisters Apparel, that has like all Sisters merch. I say it in every single video. It's become a huge thing, everybody else is saying it. So it's definitely become like my thing.
How early were you, or how instrumental were you in the "We love a blank legend"?
That's
mean.
That was also one of my things.
Oh, it, so that was I you, okay? Because I got that from Tana.
I didn't.
She's a swagger jacket.
Tana got that for me.
Okay, she's a poser. Yeah.
No, I did not create it. I don't like Sisters has been the only thing that like genuinely came from my fucking brain. But a lot of things that I have started saying have become like really, really, really popular. But Tana steals majority of her sayings from me. Almost all of them.
She's kind of a James Charles poser, huh?
Kind of.
She
yeah.
She kind of wants to be you.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but somehow that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because she knows that she could never like really be a gay man. She's like a woman trying to be a gay man.
Yeah, kind of.
It kind of makes sense, right?
Kind of, yeah. Tana's an interesting one.
I love Tana. I can't lie, though.
Yeah.
Even though we bully her mercilessly on this podcast.
Oh, say me and Tana bully each other mercilessly. Yeah.
I liked your vibe when I was watching you guys in the videos together, because it's like, I just like that you're not scared to sort of roast her a little bit.
Oh, no, she's the worst friend I have. And she knows that.
But I got kind of offended when I was watching that shit, because she was sort of like, oh, you know, like I was thinking the other day about how I don't have any real friends, and like, oh, my real friends, like everybody just wants something from me. I'm like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? Me and Leonard are friends with you, and we never tried to get anything out of you. We had sex for her in front of her. Oh, yeah, we tried to fuck her, too, but
oh,
she didn't
yeah,
let
I
us.
I loved that video.
You what? Saw that?
Watch that
I did.
Vlog, yeah.
That was kind of awkward. Leonard got a little drunk by the end of it.
Love that. Love that. Can't relate.
Okay. I'm just looking through the rest of my questions that I sort of had things I wrote down last night. Oh, yeah, I guess that the comparison point. What, there's a weird comparison between you and Tana, because I feel like, well, she told me that she got a million views on her third video. That to me just stands out that
yeah.
you and her both have the same thing in common, that like, just that there is like an it factor on YouTube that will work, and that like certain people just click.
150%.
Yeah.
YouTube, regardless, I wish it was solely based on talent, because if it was, half the people that are at the top would not be where they are.
Big fact.
But it's. YouTube is 150% based on personality, and there is absolutely no denying that you have to be a really entertaining person to make it.
Mm.
And like being entertaining is a talent, whether regardless of what people want to say, it is. And you have like being able to turn that on and have that on camera charisma and uniqueness,
mm-hmm.
like is a huge talent. And it's a very specific type of person, and it doesn't work for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so,
it's about energy. It's yeah. about that excitement level. And that's what I think is so crazy, because it's like YouTube is basically like an audition for every single person on earth for the same role
yeah.
of just taking up some time out of people's days, you know?
Basically, yeah.
It's like you're competing against everybody else on earth.
Yeah, me and Tana are definitely compared a lot. I think that we're very different in a personality sense, but I think that we've definitely been two people that have always been unapologetically ourselves. Have apologized for a lot of different things that we've been called out for, but I've been able to really grow in the public eye, and have kind of grown up in the public eye and have been able to use that to our advantage. So we do have some similarities, but for the most part, me and Tana are very different people.
Do you remember watching her N-word scandal and how crazy it was?
Yeah. I remember watching it, relating to it.
Yeah.
After my whole situation.
That already seems kind of like outdated to me. Like I feel like that wouldn't have been as big a deal now, because those videos were from her like being incredibly young
yeah,
saying
that,
right?
Yeah, but just really stupid, and when she addressed it, she literally was like, I thought it meant homie, and we all know she did not think that. And
homie.
Like my racism scandals were obviously like, I did not mean anything to be racist ever, and I have never once said the N-word and like would never. Like, I think it's disgusting.
What if there's a 2 Chainz song playing?
No.
You start singing along? No? What if you're alone? What if you're in a padded room?
No.
Okay.
even still, like, I said beforehand, like, I've definitely said a lot of racist things that I didn't know were racist when I was 12 and had no racist intent to them, but accidentally were.
Do people ever try to say that the Sisters thing is racist?
A lot of people say that I stole that for black, like, woman culture.
They say cis a lot.
They do.
Which, like a demeaning thing.
Very different thing. Like, hey, sis is a very different thing. Like, hi, sister. Like, very different concepts. And also, like, everybody has siblings.
Yeah. True.
Everybody's had siblings since the beginning of time.
When did the sheesters things?
That's Tana's.
Oh, she sort of helped to introduce that.
Tana thinks I have a lisp. And sometimes I do, because I talk really fucking fast. So I, like, will stumble over my words and will end up with a lisp. Which is embarrassing, but I've learned to accept it. I literally was fucking filming a video yesterday, and I caught myself doing it, and I was like, oh my fucking God, Tana's right.
What, just letting your little lisp sort of sneak in there?
Yeah. Which is embarrassing. I mean, like, nothing against people that have lisps, but I just didn't think I had one.
Right.
And then I caught myself, and I was like, oh my God, I do have a lisp. But it's because I talk so fast, and my brain, my fucking mouth can't keep up with what my brain is processing, so it just all comes out in kind of, like, mumbo jumbo. And
I talk super fast because I'm scared that other people are going to start talking if I leave any kind of little gap in the conversation, you know?
I've always been a very, very fast talker, but shishter. From Tana.
You never had any desire or idea to smoke weed or drink or anything?
Nope.
Never even, you just, like, sort of knew that you didn't want that?
I have just never been into it. I really don't know why. I've taken shots with my friends. Like, I've tasted all alcohol. Like, I've had tips of my parents' wine and my dad's beer. My parents were literally like, you need to get drunk before you leave for college. Like, you absolutely have to. And I was like, no, I don't want to. They're like, you fucking have to.
So you took a shot. You probably felt a little something off the one shot, right?
No.
And you piss mad right after.
Every time I have ever had alcohol, I have to pee, which is really weird. And maybe that's...
That's actually pretty common among all liquids.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. So thank God it's not that way. I've only taken shots from when I hit, like, milestones. I'll be with my friends out to dinner. We always celebrate. Uh-huh. And they're always like, just take a shot. And I was like, okay. But
you
it's
gotta
just one
have,
shot.
Like, six shots.
Yeah. I've never been drunk. And I don't ever want to be drunk. Mm. I'm a very much controlling person. Like I said, I'm very smart and I like to be in tune. And I'm an observer. I may seem like I talk a lot, which I do. But there's a lot of times if I'm not, like, on camera or if I'm not, like, in, like, a one-on-one that I'm comfortable with, I'll just be sitting back, watching and observing. And if it's a situation that I know I want to take advantage of, listening and seeing, like, how can I use this situation to my advantage? For example, like, at a high school party, like, I would go to them every once in a while with people that I didn't like or guys that would bully me, and I'd sit there and watch them do stupid shit and then get tea on them and then use that against them the next time they try to do something to me. For example, or, like, people in the beauty industry that are trying to, like, shit talk me or start drama or something, you say, oh no, sweetie, I saw you do this at a party last week. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I'm not like some psychopath that's like always observing, like waiting for blackmail. I try to stay very, very drama free, but I am definitely an observer. Like, I notice a lot of things and I'm always thinking in the back of my head, no matter what situation I'm in. So I feel like if I was drunk, I'd get very, very, very crazy.
Yeah.
And I also see a lot of social media kids do that and fall down that path and destroy everything that they've built. And I refuse to do that to myself.
Especially, yeah. Oh God, I can't even imagine, because it's like when I was 18 and, like, learning how to drink, learning how to be fucked up, it's like, you know, along that road, you end up doing a lot of stupid shit in public. You know, it's like, in terms of acting crazy, you know, getting in a fight, screaming in people's faces, never mind, like, just falling down drunk, passing out, puking, shit like that. And, like, being in the public eye, I mean, you're kind of in, like, a weird scenario, because it's like you don't really have that, like, comfort level where you can just go fuck up publicly over and over. Like,
nope. I've never wanted to do it, though. I will say, like, even before I had a following, I would always skip out on parties if I knew there's gonna be a lot of drinking. Even if I was with people, I would never do it. But I think for that reason, I still don't do it now, and probably won't ever.
You ever see the Sugar Gay video?
No.
Mark McGrath is the singer of Sugar Ray, and, like, back, like, when they started popping off in, like, the early 2000s, he was just, like, super coked out and drinking and, like, getting out of this car, and some fan just yells, "Sugar Gay."
Me.
Right.
Me, honestly.
And he tweaks out so bad and is screaming in the guy's face and, like, basically threatening to fight him and stuff, all because he says Sugar Gay instead of Sugar Ray. And it's like, I'm just watching this video just like, oh my God, this is why you cannot be famous doing drugs in public. Because, like,
it can lead you down a really, really rough path. And like I said, I've worked really hard for what I have. And because of all the scandals that I've had to get past, I've been undermined constantly since day one. And I think I'm finally, like, within the past, like, probably 6 months, honestly, just started to finally really get past all that shit and really just focus on myself and my content. And I finally started to get a lot more recognition and a lot more growth, which has been so incredible because I've been putting in the same amount of work ethic since day one, mm-hmm. but it's just really, really awesome to finally see a little bit of reward from it, and not even reward, just recognition, which is really what I've like been fighting for.
And
so
the more people come for you and try to destroy you and it doesn't work, the more that they realize like, oh, like he's just going to keep existing. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, you can hate him as much as you want, but apparently he's going to keep going.
I refuse to let it all go for something as stupid as getting drunk publicly and having a video taken of me saying something really stupid or fighting with somebody, or I don't even know what it would be. I just like, I don't think I'd be that bad at drunk. I just don't even want to take the chance. And I am so energetic and I have so much fun without alcohol. Like,
holy shit, yeah, you drunk would be awful.
Yeah, it probably would. Like, I don't need death. It. I have fun without it.
We ask Ian a question. What do you think we need to know about Ian? What makes him so fascinating?
I have no idea. I know everything about Ian. Well, a lot about Ian.
Yeah, what do you know about me?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what makes Ian tick. Like, the fact that he's a fan of me makes me feel like I need to know more of him. I'm a fan of him as well. But, you know, I just want to know, like, what is going on in Ian's world and stuff.
How, like, maybe, do you want to talk about, like, how you want to move to LA and, like, what you want to do and, like, the people at school and stuff?
Basically, ever since like the videos went out, I've gained followers, of course, but school has been like shitty. Everyone like talks shit. It's kind of like annoying. I like lost friends because of it.
Lost friends, really?
Yeah, I have like 5 true friends now.
Which is so crazy because you think people would be all over his dick trying to use him.
Yeah, like but your friends that were friends with you before are just going to like somehow find a way to hold it against you, right?
Like, kids try to like expose me and like that were like my good friends.
Yeah. Expose you for what?
Smoking.
Smoking weed?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Come on, I'm an American male. This is what we do. This is American as apple pie. Kush.
They got him real good. I was like, wow. But destroy him.
That doesn't work because it's not like you have like brand deals to protect and shit at this point. And even if you did, it's not like they're gonna care.
I think it was just a sense that I've been so public about not smoking and drinking that they're like, oh shit, Ian smoking a blunt 2 years ago when he got pressured by his friends to try it for the first time is really gonna ruin his career. And we're just sitting there like, yeah, good luck. Have fun.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
That's not going
to like
work.
Your 400 followers from Bethlehem, New York are really going to amass to the 925,000 that are following Ian and then ruin his career.
Bro, your shit is growing up fast because I saw you like being like, damn, I hit 900K. And then you're like,
I'm at 925. Yeah.
Yeah, like, how'd I hit 925? And it was like 6 hours later.
The second episode of our show, the third episode of our show just went up yesterday. So every time we upload it, always goes insane, which is fun.
Before I ask about your acapella group, I'm also just going to say follow Adam22 on Instagram. So what's up with your acapella group?
Yeah, so I'm in an acapella group called Flashback, which is actually no longer, we just ended recently.
Really?
Yeah, there's just the group, everyone's really busy, and my best friend Anthony lives in Florida, which is really fucking hard to make it work. And then a lot of the other kids in the group like are either working full-time jobs or in school, and just it wasn't really aligning. We didn't end on bad terms or anything. It just wasn't really working out in a lot of different personality aspects and business aspects. So we decided to like move on from it. But acapella and music has always been a huge part of my life. I've been singing far before I've ever done music.
Yeah, way too much.
Yeah.
It'd be like 1 in the
morning. Honestly, yeah.
I'd just be singing. I was trying to sleep.
Well, you loved it.
No, I didn't.
Don't be rude. You got the free concerts before everyone else will one day, hopefully.
But speaking of concerts, you go like, he's like, I've never been to a concert. He goes, well, what about when that chick sang at the baseball
Holy
game?
You
go, she sang the national anthem. You go, it's kind of a concert. That was so funny.
That was one of the lines that fucking got me good. But music has always played a huge role in my life, and acapella music has too. It's really fun for me. I just think it's similar to kind of the way I look at makeup. It's something different. It's something that not a lot of people are really doing. I've like loved Pentatonix since day one. They've been a huge like aspect and role model of my life. And like,
what is it?
Pentatonix.
What's that?
They are an acapella group that started on YouTube and got their start on a show called The Sing Off, and are now like the only famous acapella group in the entire world.
Ooh, I gotta look into that.
They're so good. But they just like, yeah, they just release like really, really dope music. And it's the concept of acapella is so cool because it's music without any instruments. So it's just like, it's always something that I've really loved. And me and Anthony, the friend that lives in Florida, have done it since like third grade. We grew up, we went to our elementary school together. We've always like tried to start little groups here and there.
Right.
And a lot of them are documented, unfortunately for us, because they've been spooked.
I just
think
it's so cool that you did that because everybody on YouTube is starting a little mini rap career these days.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're a rapper nowadays.
It was just kind of weird for me as a person who interviews rappers and YouTubers. It was like kind of strange sometimes when people are like, oh, you just hang out with Tana now. Like, that's the new kind of rapper you hang out with. I'm like, all right. You ever think about going the rap lane?
No.
Okay, that's probably
a good
idea.
I do have a project coming out that is musical that does have a rap verse in it. But once again, it's one of those things where people are going to hate it, but it's going to get the views. So.
Bro, you should start like some kind of like punk band where you're like just like you know, like glam type.
I'm scared of that concept.
You just got to dress like really like sexy every night on stage. You know?
I
could see it.
I would love music. I definitely want to make a bigger role in my life and make it huge. I have, like I said, I have a huge project that I've been working on for over a year now that should be coming out hopefully this summer. It's really been in the works and there's a lot of things that are going into it. But from there, I really want to start working on music and release a single and hopefully an album one day, and like do more acapella stuff too, like if the stars align one day.
Makes sense. You could still be a rapper too.
Maybe. I can speak really fast, so that's definitely, I think, has me going good there.
I love that idea. Become one of those rappers that like raps really fast, like.
Or just the people that speak at the end of like the like health commercials and like saying all the side effects.
Oh, I love that idea.
Or an auctioneer.
An auctioneer.
Yeah, if makeup doesn't work out, I'll just like sell weird items and storage units.
What is the website that you use code James for 10% off on?
Every website ever.
Oh, really?
Majority of the big makeup brands I have coupon codes with, but specifically like the 10% off that I'm known for is Morphe, which is like a huge brush and makeup palette brand that I love working with. So you can use code James for 10% off all Morphe products at morphebrushes.com.
You know, I just had my makeup done the other day by my girlfriend for the first time.
I saw that.
Love that.
Never did that before.
I saw a lot of tweets with pictures.
Right. There is a video that is coming soon, but I mean, that was my first time really having makeup on and I was really
kind
of... What
did you think?
I felt pretty, but it felt a little like, wow, I can't believe that so many women do this every day. And just because they want some guy to nut in them and like put a baby in them, right?
Well, that's a really common misconception that a lot of people have.
They're doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Not me.
There are some people that definitely do use makeup to feel confident, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm obviously a huge believer and preacher for, like, do whatever you want to feel confident, and, like, no matter what makes you feel beautiful, fucking do it. And, like, hello, if I can be a teacher to do that, watch the videos, girl. But I'm, like, also, like I said, I started doing makeup for the art, and it has never been something that I use to, like, feel confident. And I know there's most people out there as well that are doing makeup for themselves because it's fun. And it's, like, a fun, like, hour to just sit down and, like...
It's not fun.
Well, not for you, sweetie, but most other people. Like, just, like, to sit down and just enjoy themselves and listen to music and just, like, focus on the art and just focusing on making themselves be beautiful, not relying on some other dumbass guy who
can't... you walk outside right now. You see the guy of your dreams. Just... Who's the guy of your dreams, roughly?
Like Cameron Dallas, Shawn Mendes, just a straight guy that I could like convert. Ethan or Grayson, but they're my best friends. So like now it's kind of weird at this point.
But you walk out there and you look the way you look right now versus you walk out there fully like to the nines. How much different would you feel in approaching this guy?
I would rather meet the man of my dreams without makeup on.
Yeah.
Just the sense that like I only wear makeup for events, photo shoots, taking pictures for Instagram or like YouTube stuff. Like I don't, like I said, because like I do it to create cool shit. Like I don't wake up every morning. I'm like, oh my God, I need to get ready. Like I would, and like two, like when I get married or in a relationship one day, if that ever fucking happens, I'm going to be without makeup on most of the time. So I don't want someone to like be in it for like glam me. That's kind of weird. There's a common thing in like the straight guy world that like are a lot of straight guys are like into gay guys wearing makeup or like trans girls, which like there's like a whole fetish behind that, but like it's a weird fetish that like I want someone to love me for me, like regardless of whether or not I have makeup on, and I'm definitely not into that.
I think the confusion comes with the fact that a lot of guys are so stupid that we don't know when a girl, like speaking for myself when I was younger, is that you don't really know when a girl's wearing makeup because you're just dumb.
There's a huge meme about that going on Twitter right now.
Right, that's a real thing for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But then I think like the thing with you is that when you wear makeup, you know, usually it is more of like artistic, so it's like there's no confusing that you're wearing makeup, and probably the average like gay dude is like smart enough to like know what makeup looks like. Whereas I was in my mid-20s before I figured out that there was a thing called eyeshadow and that it made girls' eyes look different. Yeah,
I could literally wear like a foundation and like a nude lip, like a gloss and like a mascara, and like the like average straight boy would be like, oh my God, your skin looks amazing today, and I'd be like, what? But if I like wipe that off and just like change it to a red lip, they'd be like, wow, you're wearing too much makeup. I'm like, I'm wearing 3 products. I just changed the lip color. But people are so fucking stupid. But at the same time, it is a very different world, and it's not something that I expect people to be educated on, but that's why I'm here, to enlighten people on that and like be myself and really teach people that it's okay for boys to wear makeup and it's okay for girls to fucking wear makeup and wear whatever they want, and it's nobody else's fucking business what they can and can't wear. And like we said, they're doing it for themselves, usually.
Not to
can't
get
speak for everybody,
in,
yeah. but not to get a nut in them. As much as we all love that, it's definitely a different scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I know some girls that I feel like would probably never wear makeup again, except for the fact that they just like feel like they probably want to get a husband at some point, and then the makeup is probably going to get them there.
For sure, there's definitely a lot of people like that that do rely on makeup, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we all have our confidence issues, and for some people, if covering that up with makeup is their only way to get out of it, like I said, I'm all for it. And if I can be the teacher to help anybody love themselves, I mean, if it has to be makeup, like, fine. But at the same time, I do preach self-love, and I always try to tell them, like, you don't need this. But if they believe that, that's up to them, and that's a personal journey that they need to go on and kind of realize that there's nothing that I can really say or do to help them get to that level in their life. Like, it really does take a lot of self-love to love yourself with or without a full face makeup on, especially for a lot of girls out there that do look at it as a way to impress people, unfortunately, as instead of an art form. But hopefully, as time goes on, people will be more and more confident. And fucking, at the same time, I think there's a huge lesson for straight guys out there to fucking realize, like, this is not for you. You need to stop being so obnoxious to, like, saying girls are ugly if they have a pimple, or girls are ugly with or without makeup on. Like, there's a huge stigma calling, like, the guys you always see on Twitter being like, wow, girls are catfishing with or without makeup on. Like, no, dumbass, you just don't see them with 60 pounds of foundation and inch long fake eyelashes on their eyes that would never grow out of their face.
So you don't believe that there is a degree to which Facetune and makeup can be used in a way that could be seen as manipulative towards guys that girls are meeting up with online? Because sometimes I feel like there's a line that is crossed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely think that, like, at the end of the day, for me, it's my job. So, like, if somebody's doing that good of a job doing their own makeup to where they look like a completely different person, all power fucking to them.
That's
like,
scary.
Well, that's your problem to figure it out.
And straight boys just don't know.
Yeah.
And that's their fault.
If a dumb straight boy is looking at a girl and she has 80,000 pounds of makeup on and then is going to get mad when she takes her makeup off, that's his problem, not hers. Because anybody with two eyes can see, should be able to see at least, that somebody's wearing a full coverage foundation, contour, a fucking highlight that's going to blind them to the gods, fake eyelashes, their eyebrows done, and a bright red lipstick and a brown eyeshadow. If you can't visualize that with your two eyes and you think that that is no makeup, that's a personal problem. That is a very, very personal issue.
The problem is they got testosterone floating around in their brain. Horny. They can't think straight.
They're just horny.
We're all horny, but
we're all a little
young men, especially. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I do think, like, I'm also a very huge preacher for Facetune. Like, I Facetune all my photos, but at the same time, like, I just did a video on this, actually.
You and Tana talk about it so much. I feel like I learn so much anytime that I, like, watching that video on YouTube, I'm like, holy fuck, I just learned everything there is.
I'm the queen of Facetune for sure. But at the same time, like, although a lot of my Instagram pictures are fucking Facetune the house down, it's because I look at Instagram as, like, my portfolio as an artist. And you see me on YouTube and Snapchat and Instagram stories all day long, which you can't edit. My favorite thing in the world is when I fucking post a selfie on Snapchat and someone's like, wow, you Facetune this way too much. I'm like, no, I just look good. Like, you can't edit a Snapchat. I wish you could fucking edit a Snapchat.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that would be the best. There are so many things that I would love to fix Snapchat that I fixed on my Instagram pictures.
She did my makeup, and that's why I thought. I'm like, oh my God, it looks like a Snapchat filter.
Yeah.
It looks like me with a Snapchat filter.
Yeah,
like,
I definitely am a firm believer in Facetune, but I use it to kind of further my photos, which I kind of look at as the way to show off my art, like, on Instagram. So I will never, I like talked about this in my video, but I never really Facetune makeup on. I just take what's already there and make it more vibrant or adjust it to help maybe what the light or the camera or the angle didn't capture. So sometimes I make my highlight brighter or make, like, my colored shadows more pigmented, or, like, lower my forehead, which is something that I'm very insecure about.
Wait, but you think your forehead's big?
Yeah.
Brothers.
I got my big forehead from my mom.
That was pretty loud.
It was. That was a fucking good slap. I got my big forehead from my mom. We both got bullied when we were younger, calling us five heads.
Oh my God. I've always said that with me and my parents too. That was,
I feel like you have a very average forehead.
I feel like I just have a gigantic head in general.
You do have a pretty large head.
I know,
but it matches your body, I feel like.
When I was 16, me and my girlfriend at the time, we both measure our heads, and I don't remember exactly how many inches. No, we had string in our class, so we put it around our heads and measured it, and I just remember that. I don't remember how many inches my head was, but I remember it was twice as big as hers.
I love that.
I don't know how my current girlfriend's head would shape up, but I would expect similar results.
I think we should probably measure her head after this. And yeah. I would love to measure mine too, but although I do edit my photos and talk, I do talk about it openly, I think is the main point behind that. And
you're
then,
making me want to do it. Yeah. I got to get Facetune.
I'm adamant about it. And I think that if you're going to Facetune, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not creating unrealistic standards for the young kids watching you. Mm. I think it's a very fine line to be crossing. Like, of course I'll smooth out my skin or reduce my forehead, but I'll say, like, everybody knows that I fucking fix the fuck out of my forehead and smooth out my skin and make my eyes brighter. Like, it happens in every photo.
Yeah, I got exposed for it yesterday.
I know. I saw your comments. But
do you Facetune?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think everybody does. Literally, almost like 99% of people on social media Facetune their photos, and if they say they're not, they're lying.
I have never done it. I want to know how, though.
I said 99%.
Once I know how, I'm doing it.
Yeah, of course. Everybody edits their photos, whether or not they want to fucking admit it. And if they're saying, oh my God, it's not edited, they're fucking lying, first of all. And I think that whether or not they want to admit it is a personal choice. But I think because I do admit it, that's why I get called out on it so much and people complain about it. But I'm like, okay, bitch, I could sit there and act like this is real and you guys would all believe me and you'd have nothing to go on.
Yeah, you got to own nothing. It. If so you own it, you're
good. I own it. And that's why I've done Facetune brand deals and I sell the fuck out of their app. When I posted my video, it was number 2 in the App Store trending worldwide.
That's some crazy shit.
And they have already reached out to do more brand deals. And
should I use code James when I download Facetune?
There probably will be one in a few short weeks. I will keep you posted for sure.
I need to know.
But I think that as long as you're not creating unrealistic standards, like I said, I never went into this being a role model, but now I am, and I want to be the best I can be. I never sit there and make my ass 8 times bigger or bring in my waist to like 3 inches wide or like we'll sit there and like, you know what? I'm not a believer in that. And I know a lot of people do that. And I think that that's what really creates that unrealistic standard for young kids out there. And I don't want people to start relying on editing to make themselves feel confident. I use editing to make my photos look better and to make my makeup better to represent my art form. But I don't do it to make my body look better.
If somebody were going to say that about you or Tana, like, oh, you too much Facetune or whatever, I've seen both of you in videos with no makeup on. Like, the average girl, is just like a girl that I meet out and about, would not make a YouTube video with no makeup on.
No.
You know, you guys are like fully willing to show that. So that to me, it's like, you can't talk shit about them if they're going to show you the whole process.
Y'all see me every fucking day. There is no way you're going to sit here and act like you don't know what I look like.
Mm.
You see me every day.
Facts.
Yeah.
Let me be hot on Instagram.
Yeah. Let me Facetune the fuck out of my photo. Let me make my eyeshadow brighter than it is.
Let me be great.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do we need to know before we wrap this up? Because this has been a great journey into the mind of one of the most successful young guys I know and his brother, who is apparently getting a ton of ass off Instagram.
Yeah.
I hated that sentence. I hated every single word of that sentence.
Wait till you live in LA, bro. You're at upstate New York and it's coming in. Jesus Christ.
Oh, we're working on it.
I'm worried about it. Yeah. Use a condom. Use 10 condoms. Tie them all together and wrap it around.
Don't tell him to do that, please. I'm scared of this conversation.
No, for real though. He might not have a killer pullout game like you.
I have no pullout game. I'm a virgin.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, explain. I don't know how gay sex works.
Oh, that's like. Well, first of all, I'd be a bottom if I was going to get fucked. So okay. I would definitely.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, 100% would not be doing the fucking. Okay. So I will probably never have a condom ever.
And you just know that, even though you haven't really dove into that.
Well, I'm scared of butts. I just think the world of butts is scary and like.
That is the crazy.
Yeah. I poop a lot. That's why I stay really skinny. I poop like every 10 minutes. So
it's too much info.
I just would not want to think. I mean, I just would not want to think about like that ever. So for me, like, oh, it's just a spooky thought. And also like my type is straight boys. Mm. So I have had like a lot of luck with them. Like,
okay, that's why you're single, dude.
Well, no.
Impossible boys are near impossible.
No. I've had so much luck with straight guys sending me dick pics and flirting on the DL. But the problem is once people start finding out, then they get mad. And then I start getting called a sexual predator. And then it turns really bad really fast.
You get called a sexual predator for wanting to fuck straight guys?
Oh, yeah. Once they send me dick pics and everything. It's happened surprisingly a lot of times. But I think it's just like a lot of guys, like we were saying before, like a lot of guys are kind of into that like guy wearing makeup or like trans guy or trans girl fantasy, which is fine. I mean, like, love whoever you want to love, fuck whoever you want to fuck. But for me, like, it's definitely been a struggle because, like, I have enough gay in me for 2 people, and I'm also forced to be in the makeup industry all day, every day of my life. So I need someone to balance me the fuck out And like, I need someone who's complete a polar opposite of me so I can have like conversations with at the end of the day, like laying in bed and like not have it be anything like mine at all. Mm. So that's why I think that I like tend to go for a lot, like more of like a straight guy or even like a very, very masculine gay guy. But I just have not had the best of luck with that.
I hope you hook up with someone, one of my fans, like someone watching this right now who previously didn't know about you, but in his low key gay, hasn't told any of his friends.
It happens a lot, surprisingly. And like, a few of the guys like that I've had crushes on since like literal high school that I like have like ended up like telling me they had feelings for me like years and years and years later, which has been lit. Wow. So I'll keep you posted on anything, but as of right now, I'm a virgin.
That's the good part about clout. Everybody starts coming out of the closet, uh-huh. or not the closet, but coming out of the woodwork, well, being too. Like, yeah, no. But my problem is I'm 34, so the girls I went to high school are like, you know, meth heads or have jobs.
I guess Lena's a pretty good option.
Meth heads, or yeah. Jobs.
Well, she's from out here. You know, they're 34. Anyway, she's different. She's holding it together. People are always like, oh, when you go back home, do you like hook up with all the girls from high school? I'm like, no, bro. It's been a long time since I was in high school. Anyway. You got any thanks? Any shout outs you want to do before we wrap this up? Use code James for 10% off.
If you'd like to follow me on my makeup journey, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. They're both just James Charles. My Snapchat for more behind the scenes stuff is James Charles and the next S after Charles. My YouTube and Instagram are both just James. I just fucking said that. Hello. I post 2 makeup videos every single week. They're pretty good, pretty lit. The content is always next level and something that you may have not seen before in the YouTube space, in the makeup community especially. So come check it out. It's very fun. And me and my little brother, Ian, also have a show every single Sunday called Brother and Sister. And we just talk about all different aspects of our lives. And it is a pretty fun contrast. Also, use code James for 10% off almost every makeup brand ever. Would you like to promote yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Follow me on all my social medias. They're IanJD12. If you're hot on Instagram, hit my DMs.
Don't. Oh, my God.
If you're hot.
You know what? Well, I guess, if you're one of Adam's fans and you're a straight guy who's relatively around my age and is down to send some dickety pickities on the DL.
Neck tattoos and shit.
Yeah, that's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Down.
You want to hook up? Not like me, but like, no. You know, some other dude.
I have a very weird thing where I will not hook up. I need like someone who's like within like 1 to 2 years max of me.
Really?
Yeah.
One to 2 years max. Oh, so yeah. You couldn't be with some 40-year-old millionaire?
No.
Really?
No.
Because you're an 18-year-old millionaire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Badass. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We interview a lot of interesting people, oftentimes rappers, stuff like that.
Wait,
but sometimes
you
YouTubers
didn't
like
even
to
say thank you.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. This is so amazing that your younger brother happening to be a fan means that I got to do an interview with James fucking Charles, who I would not have known nearly as much about you as I now know, both from this interview and from watching a shitload of your videos last night. So I'm excited.
You thank you for having us. This is so much
thank
fun.
Thank you very much.
Sorry to interrupt. I realized I was like, what the fuck? We need to be polite.
No, I love it. It's amazing. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Gang, gang. I can help you, look at your toe. I can help you, look at your toe. It's no toe.